Everyone, thank you for taking the time and lending your ears to these various conversations. Very excited to share all the guests that I have with you this season. And in order for this season to be a success, I need you guys to help share the word and spread the love of the What Makes You Tick pod. While you're listening, please take a moment to like or subscribe to the podcast wherever you are. And as always, I really appreciate all the help and the support that you guys have given me in the last four seasons. Let's hopefully make this one the best.
I find people that bring a very dark energy to be, it pulls a lot of my energy. I'm an empath. I feel that energy. You know, it distracts me. It robs me of my creativity. It stresses me out. It puts me in a sad mood, you know, and you can't really be productive when you feel that way. And so I gave myself the permission to just cut those people off completely so that I can be who I need to be to do what I'm doing right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to What Makes You Tick. As you all know, this podcast is a personal project of mine, and it's amazing how when you put yourself out there that you can you never know where it will lead. And that is a prime example of how I came in contact with my next guest, first generation entrepreneur, let you have it, Alexio Gibson. Thank you so much for joining me, pal.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah, which, you know, listen, it really is about putting yourself out there, right? Because we'll get into your story, and I think, like, I'm literally getting goosebumps now, like, about how are we going to tell this story, right? But do it in a way that is real, like, it's your story. But for everybody who might be interested, I was literally going down a rabbit hole on YouTube and looking at Kevin Hart and all the madness that he goes into, and next thing I come across Alexio Gibson on Shark Tank, right? And we'll talk about that in a minute, but literally blown away by your story, blown away by who you are as a person, how you came across. Like, your energy was class, and in Ireland that means brilliance. Okay.
I like that.
So I just reached out to you and I said, hey, listen, would you be interested in joining me? I gave you a little bit of a synopsis or summary of the podcast and what it's all about, and now you're here. So thank you for coming on.
Hey, you're welcome. It's an honor to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so listen, everybody, I'm sure that a lot of people have requested your time, so I'm super, super honored to have you. Let's get into it, because one of the questions that I ask everybody on this podcast is, so for you, for example, you've had a remarkable journey to date, and we'll tell people the story of your journey to date. As we said when we spoke before, an overnight success that took 20 years, or took 10 years, right? Yes. But before we do, can you describe to people who don't necessarily know you, can you describe what motivates you today, what inspires you, so that we can then understand what makes you tick? What are the things that come to mind when I ask you that?
Well, what I really focus on and what drives me, wakes me up every day, is outreach. You know, seeing how many people that we can positively affect, near, directly, and indirectly. You know, service to many leads to greatness, and I live by that. So, you know, us putting out a product that's extremely healthy, helping people heal, giving people new leases on life, and putting something out into the universe that's very positive and not damaging, and being successful with that and being able to hit so many people. That's what really drives me. Seeing my things that I can do in my community, things that I can do for my team. We have about 105 staff members now, and you know, we take care of all of them, and also me being able to take care of my family. So all of these things are the drive and the passion. Because if it was just me, you know, it would be boring.
I don't know about that. Because that's fantastic. I just wrote down, what's service to many leads to greatness.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Is that something that you coined or had you heard that from somebody else?
No, that's actually a biblical quote, you know.
Okay. Okay.
It's from the test of time, but pretty much the message is, you know, even if you're not a Bible reader, what the message really is that don't focus on the money, focus on the outreach, focus on how many people you can reach. And in today's world, that's just marketing, right? So how do people know you exist? How do people know about your podcast? How do people know about my CMOS? It's marketing, it's videos, it's pushing, it's outreach, it's engagement. And it's all of these things. So, you know, the more people that you help, I feel like everything else will fall into your lap.
So that's so interesting. So your entrepreneurial journey, and we just touched on it there in CMOS, you've created this business called the Transformation Factory, which has literally transformed your life and people's lives around you. So it really does hit back to what you were saying there about the service to many leads to greatness. Your personal journey and your professional journey or your entrepreneurial journey, they're intrinsically linked, right? So
Yes.
one potentially doesn't happen without the other. Can you take us back? Can you take your time to bring us through your journey and give people who are listening the sense of where Transformation Factory came from, who Alexio Gibson is, and the path that you're on today?
Yes. Well, the Transformation Factory actually came about during the pandemic. So we were in the middle of a shutdown. You know, no one's leaving the house. All jobs are frozen. And all I knew was that I wanted to take care of my family, health while we were going through this pandemic. You know, COVID was very unknown at the time in 2020 and scary. And we just knew people was dying. And we didn't really have all the pieces to the puzzle on what this thing was yet. We just knew that, you know, we needed to stay inside. We needed to make sure that we had great immune systems and that we were still working out, getting sunlight, getting vitamins and minerals so that body can fight off anything if it did happen to, you know, get sick. So CMOS is something that's very cultural to me. I was born and raised in the Bahamas, and you're surrounded by beautiful beaches, seaweed, and all kind of herbs and stuff grow naturally on the island. So since I was a little boy, CMOS has been a part of our culture, our health regime, and it was something that I knew that I wanted to keep making for my family and my friends during the pandemic. So we started actually making CMOS gel and giving it away for free to nurses, because while we were stuck at home, they were actually in the hospitals with all of these sick COVID patients and putting themselves at risk every day. And then some of them having to go home to their newborn or their husbands or their wives. And so we had an initiative, hashtag CMOS for nurses. And anyone that was a nurse, all they had to do was show me a picture of their ID and we shipped it to them for free. And word of mouth got around so fast that I was starting to go broke because we were
Really?
sending out probably over 100 packages and paying for the shipment. And after a while, I said, okay, one, I was writing down everyone's information in a notepad. It was very old school and dated. And I said, you know what? Let me create a website or page where people can put in their own address, put in their own payment information. And this is when we started selling it to anyone that wasn't a nurse. If you were a nurse, you still got it free, but everyone else had to pay. So I opened up a website just to have, so people can put in their own information. And what happened was we started getting 5-star reviews and we started getting a lot of sales. And the way SEO works is with the sales and the 5-star reviews, it told the algorithms that we need to show this product and this brand more often. So when people started Googling CMOS or looking for CMOS in the shopping center, our page started to hit number one. And then everything changed after that.
Like, how did you start? Like, so it's a cultural thing. How do you start bringing CMOS into your everyday food? Like, what, how
Yes.
did that come about?
Well, CMOS is actually is funny because you're Irish. So
Oh, listen,
CMOS,
and I should know, right?
yes, you should, because in the 1800s, Ireland went through a very famous potato famine, as you know. And during that time, with what really kept the Irish people nurtured and still able to move on, even during that famine, was Crondus crispus. Crondus crispus is a species of sea moss. So beautiful purple algae, and it grows in cold waters. The sea moss that we have in the Caribbean is, Echuma cottonee, Gracilaria. They're different species. It's like you have an apple. You have the Honeycrisp apple.
Yeah.
You have the green apple. They're all apples, but they're just different species. All the same nutrient density. And so Ireland, it's been a part of the Irish culture since the 1800s. And same with the Bahamas. It's just something that's a part of our culture. Now, how do you use it? You can either eat it directly out of the jar. You can put it in your smoothies. You can even put it in your pancake batter. It makes it fluffier. It makes it nice, And another hack is putting it on your skin as a face mask. It has collagen properties, antioxidants to clear up your skin. It's also good for a beard mask, like a leave-in conditioner, and for your hair. It's just and it's good topically as well. If you have like a rash or some inflammation on your skin, sea moss just has a wealth of nutrients. It has 90% of all the nutrients that the human body is made from. So when you eat it and you use it topically, it literally finds whatever is broken and rebuilds it with the same minerals that the human body was made from. So it finds where your body is lacking, and it deposits and adapts and do what it needs to do. So it's great for everyone. And whatever condition people are going through, people have different stories. We have women that couldn't conceive. Sea moss is a fertility booster for men and women. We've had customers say, "Hey, we're pregnant now." I've had an older gentleman who have had arthritis in his entire back say that he can't even clean his garage because how much pain he's in. He was on our product for a week. The next week, he started cleaning out his garage, and he couldn't wait to tell me about it. I've had an esthetician who gives facials for a living that had a lot of acne, and her acne wasn't from not taking care of her skin because she's an esthetician. It was because of PCOS, a hormonal imbalance. Sea moss corrected her hormones, and a month later, she sent me a picture of her face glowing, and she's like, "I'm getting so much more clients now because now they see that my skin is clear, so they trust me to clear their skin." So you just hear a bunch of different stories.
So, and this is fascinating because it is surprising that it hasn't exploded sooner, right?
Yes,
But,
yes.
so which is the fascinating piece. And then you saw the effect it was having on people during COVID and how it was helping. I believe it was helping, you were helping your grandmother as well
Yes.
while she was ill, right? Or not
Yes.
feeling well, yeah.
Well, the goal of my grandmother, she was 80 at the time. And if you know anything about COVID, it's pretty much the older the person, the more dangerous it is for them. So, I just wanted to build her immune system. So I would put it in her coffee every morning. She loved lattes. So I would put a tablespoon of the raw sea moss gel in her milk, heat it up, froth it nice for her, put her coffee in there, and that's how she got her nutrients every single day. And I noticed her energy, I noticed her hair getting thicker, her eyes getting brighter, more white, just obvious signs of better health.
You know what, Alexio, my dad suffered. He got hit with COVID big time on the 20th of March, I think it was. So it was right at the beginning, right? And
Yes.
we nearly lost him a couple of times. And like that, we were doing all the techniques and we were doing all the pronated breathing and all that, but we didn't, like, he didn't have any appetite. And
Yeah.
I've no doubt then, by hearing your stories and hearing the reviews and reading the reviews and stuff, that if he had CMOS at that time, I'm sure it would have massively boosted him in terms of the recovery and this the kind of the knock-on effects that he had as a result of COVID, like the long COVID. His lung collapsed. Like, it was so scary. It would have given us the peace of mind to know that he's getting the nutrients that he needs, you
Absolutely.
know.
And we had a lot of COVID patients taking our product that their symptoms were subsiding, So what it did too for a lot of our customers was speed up the time that they had COVID. So instead of it being weeks, it was a few days. Or instead of feeling all the pain and the aches and the everything from it, those symptoms went away. I had a chef that actually used to make our product. And a part of making our product, the quality control is testing in every single batch. So you can imagine how much CMOS this person's getting a day. He got COVID, and the very next day, his symptoms went away. Because he had so much of the product and such a healthy immune system that he said he felt the effects for about 6 hours. And by the next day, he was 100% back to normal.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. Because let's maybe talk. I think what I will do is we'll touch on this a little bit later on, because I want to talk about your experience on Shark Tank as well, right? Because what people in Ireland have, we have this thing called Dragon's Den Ireland. So whereas in America, it's Shark Tank, right? But we might talk about that in a few minutes. But I have a question here, and it starts off, the Bahamas is very different to Ireland, but in actual fact, that's potentially only by the climate more so than anything. Yes. That we're still surrounded by the sea. But what was it like growing up in the Bahamas? Like, what do you remember from a young age that has kind of stayed with you to this day?
Well, one, it's definitely a place with the most beautiful beaches in the world. You know, it is a small country. Everyone knows everyone. And very, very positive attitudes, positive people, beautiful people, sun, trees, beaches, great food. And again, like a close-knit community, everyone knows everyone, you know. So growing up in the Bahamas was amazing. I visit all the time. It's very close to South Florida, so you know, it's a 20-minute flight away from here. So it's very, very, very close. And it really gave me my foundation of who I am, down to my mannerisms, my views on life, the way I do things. You know, the Bahamian people are very proud people. They take pride within everything that they do. And I've adopted that, being born and raised there. And to this very day, I won't do anything unless I'm going to give it my all. You know, I'm very all in or all out. There's no gray area.
Where did you learn that? Like, did you see that in action when you were young? Like, was there a figure, there's somebody in your life that kind of you looked up to kind of go, you know, that's the type of characteristic that I want in my life? Or was it a kind of a, as you say, everybody knew everybody, it was a community of people?
Yes, it was definitely a community of people, but the person that was around me the most was my grandmother. She had an amazing, amazing work ethic and a very beautiful heart. You know, she would help the stranger on the side of the road. She would give tips to the person at the drive-through window. And it's like, I don't think you're supposed to tip them, grandma, you know, but her heart was just so big, and people loved her. And they, you know, she did so much for a lot of people, and they returned the favor. Service to many, she served a lot of people. And because of that, she had so much wealth around her, so much relationship capital. So I saw someone work hard, be kind, be humble, and still be amazing at everything they do. And also protective as well. You know, she had a perfect balance. So that was literally the best model I had as a child. In my most impressionable years, that's what I saw every day.
Really, do you feel that, like there's things that you're doing in your life that you can nearly say grandma did that, or that she came from grandma. Is there certain things that are happening in your day to day that you're
yeah. I will say my relationships, you know, yeah. My staff absolutely loves me. My vendors, I have great, great, great relationships with people. And one of the key things I hear all the time is, man, you're different. You know, you're loyal. You're this, your character. And so, you know, when I see my team building, I see the joy that they have working with me, and the relationships that I'm able to really bring together, and very quickly too. I can meet someone for the first time, and you know, by the end of that dinner, you know, we're planning a whole new business or project, or they're so excited, you know. So when stuff like
I
that
need to get on
happens,
one of those dinners, Alexio.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
but yes,
it is fascinating though how important relationships are, though, aren't they? Like,
yes,
not only from your personal life, but in the day to day. Like, is there what? So when you say people are saying you're different, I actually had another question that I was like, do you think your success has changed you? But by the sounds of it, it's actually reinforced who you are.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a firm believer that money doesn't change people. It magnifies who you were already. So if you're a really giving person, you're going to be an even bigger giver now that you have more to give. If you were a selfish person, envious person, I think it puts you in a powerful position to be even nastier to people. So I just feel like money enhances who you were already. Now, as far as the change, yes, there has been changes, but positive change and necessary change. You know, at this level, you know, they say new levels, new devils. And that's very true. You have people that try to steal from you, copy, betray you, take advantage of you. The fact that you can Google me before a meeting, and we have to negotiate on rates for whatever it is. Now the price went up four times the amount because you saw that I was on Shark Tank. So, you know, so now defenses have to be in place. Gatekeepers will have to be around me now. You know, you can't go directly to me. You have to go through the gatekeepers, who's going to vet you and filter out the bad guys and make sure that I'm protected. So I do have to move strategically now. I have to move like a king chess piece, you know, not too many movements, you know, let everyone else around me like really shield me. So there's been changes there. And then also changes in my everyday life. I'm traveling a lot now. I'm in meetings all the time. You know, I have all these opportunities. So the old me had a very 9-to-5, very sedentary kind of life. Now, you know, I'm up at 5 in the morning and having a meeting at 8 and the gym at 9 and a podcast at 10, you know, and so those changes are all exciting changes. But definitely positive change. You get tougher, you get smarter, you get more resilient and more productive. So those were the changes.
That's brilliant. That's, you know what, to have that level of self-awareness is really, really impressive. Because like it leads me to asking you a question, but like, why me, right? So yeah. Why did you say yes to a little old podcast from Ireland, you know, which is a little small little personal project, and where I'm just trying to learn from others like you, you know, how did I get through the system?
Well, you got through. You were genuine. You did your research, you know, and your approach was great. And you're Irish. I'm going to tell you a funny story. First off, I have two amazing people on my team that are from Ireland, and I flew to Ireland just to meet them. And we had our first Guinness together, real Guinness, not the American one. And those guys, I absolutely love, you know, they're such gentlemen or lads, as you would say, yeah. You know, and, you know, so I was like, I had just came back from Ireland when you reached out to me. So I was already technically still in my Ireland bubble, and you kind of continued that feeling. So when you reached out, but funny story, my TikTok director, I met for the first time 6 months ago in Florida. And he said he was so excited to start working. He was like, let's start shooting content right now. Because I had some samples of the sea moss gel with me. But I said, hey, we're going to make content. We need a spoon. And we were in the middle of this outlet mall area. And we walked in. We couldn't find a spoon anywhere. We went into restaurants and they were just like, no, no, no. So we went into an Irish store. And I'm like, they probably don't have a spoon in here. It was a souvenir store. But I said, let's just check it out. We found an Irish spoon with the Lucky Charms on it. And it was like a small spoon, like a little dessert spoon. I kid you not, the content we made with that spoon made over $1 million.
You are joking.
I am not
oh
kidding
God.
You. The TikTok videos that we used with that spoon has over 20 million views and brought in over $1 million in sales. So me and my TikTok director, we're like, don't ever lose this spoon. This is our lucky spoon.
I like, I'm assuming it's in your pocket somewhere, right?
Yeah, I have it in a special place.
Jeez, yeah, isn't that gas though, isn't it? Like there's, it's funny about timing, isn't it? It's yeah. All about timing. It's about, and I think for me, it was absolutely being genuine because like I try to just put myself out there and try and figure out if I can make it work, right? And sometimes people bite and sometimes people don't. That's just the name of the game, right?
Yes.
But I was so delighted that you did, and I think from what I got from you was that initial welcome. You know, there was a lovely, like we have a saying in Ireland called Cad me da Fáilte, which is 100,000 welcomes, right?
Yes.
You had that welcome when I initially reached out, and I was like, okay, I got to talk to this guy. So yeah, no, I really appreciate it. And listen, the next time you're in Ireland, I need to have a pint with you, that's for sure.
Yes.
So you got to keep me posted. Let's talk about your experience on, before we do that, can you talk to me about the Alexio who was 20 years old? Because we said at the top of the podcast that, okay, 2020, COVID hit and you found a way to create a business and you've generated like multi-million dollar business now, right? Yes. In that time. But that stemmed from a previous experience, I'm sure, from a world that you were back when you were 20 years old or so. Could you maybe talk to people and just give them a sense of what that world was like for you? Because your journey has been remarkable, and I don't think we're probably giving it the justice that it deserves, because we haven't spoken about it. So maybe you might bring people and give them a bit of context.
Yes. Well, when I was 20 years old, I was over 500 pounds, and I was a totally different person. I was always very smart and into gadgets and computers. I was in school for engineering, and I met my mentor in college. She was the dean, and she brought me into student leadership and pretty much brought a lot of light to my life and a lot of belief. She saw something special in me, and she said, hey, I want to get you involved, and I want to get you active in student leadership. And that new energy, that new belief system made me want to be better and better and better and better. And I became obsessed with becoming the best version of myself. You know, what would that guy look like? What would that guy sound like? What confidence would he have, you know, when he enters the room? And I would just visualize it. I'd be at the gym 4 hours a day, you know, and I'd have a mega playlist. And I would just daydream and daydream and live in my subconscious and literally just imagine what Alexio 2.0 would look like and feel like. What would he move like? You know, how you do anything is how you do everything. How would that discipline show up in other areas of my life? And I became obsessed with that. Within 16 months, I lost 200 pounds.
Sorry, 200 pounds. So in Irish terms, that's, Jesus, that's about... 200 pounds. What's that in kgs?
Kg.
That's a, we have that's
to a, divide that by 2.2.
That's yeah. It's about 90 kgs or so.
Yes. Yeah. It was a whole human. I lost a whole human.
It's a whole human. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a human off your back.
Yes. Yes. With that weight loss, it brought a lot of confidence. It made me want to go after everything. I landed an opportunity with NASA as an engineer, where I got to build a Curiosity rover prototype. It's a robot that roams around Mars, takes pictures, samples, send stuff back to the US. I was 24 when I was on that project. I got to meet the President Obama. I got so many Wow. letters from Congress congratulating me for the work I did with NASA. And then it landed me a bigger job at NASA with the chief of technology at the headquarters in Washington, D.C. And I was there for about 7 months. I worked with Google, Facebook, and NASA and Elon Musk on a few projects surrounding NASA. And I remember at the end of my 7 month tenure with NASA, it was an internship. The chief of technology took me out for dinner my last night, and she said, You're the best intern we have ever had. And she said, because of that, I never want to see you back here. She
Wow.
said, I need you to go out there and be bigger. You're going to impact the whole world one day, you know? And I don't want you to get stuck behind a desk like we did. She said, go out there, spread your wings, believe, you know? And she said, if you fail and you feel like that didn't work out for you, you will always have a home here, you know? And as you can imagine, today she is so happy for me
Oh,
because.
man. I'm sure she's been on the phone saying, told you.
Yeah. She was super excited when she heard about everything, you know. So that was kind of my journey before I left NASA, started my first company, which was a film company, production company. And then I also started working for a startup company, which I think was very important because I got to see a booming business from the very beginning. And I got to see the work ethic of the CEO and how everything came together. So now as a startup, I kind of can maneuver better. I know how to bring people together and get stuff done because I'd been exposed to it twice.
So how did you go from an engineer in NASA to setting up your own production business, right?
Yes.
Then was the startup a separate style of business again?
Yeah, it wasn't manufacturing, but it definitely was. It was like
Yeah.
fan
Do you know what I
doors
mean?
and
So,
windows.
you're you've come like you're touching on so many different types of industries. How did you jump, or were you still just searching to find certain things that you maybe could fall in love with?
Well, filming and editing was something I did in college as an executive board member for student government. I made a lot of content. I got students to be engaging with really complex topics by making it funny, creating skits, production videos. So I kind of became a hobby for me while I was in college. And then I got a unique opportunity where a hospital hired me to make over 400 videos for them. And I actually used that to pay my way through college. And so my skill got even better and better and better. When NASA called me, I had just landed a contract to make all these videos. So I had to hire people to replace me. And so it kind of forced me to have a business now. And because I obviously didn't want to pass up on the opportunity to work with NASA. And the woman that gave me that contract was very understanding. She said, as long as the quality of work is the same, she said, you know, you have my blessing to take that opportunity. Today, that woman is a director of marketing in my business.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And
full circle.
Full circle. So that's how I got into the production world. Predating student government and editing for college, I was a pro gamer when I was about between the ages of 18 and 20. I played games at a competitive level where we actually traveled and you got signed to a team like a real athlete, you know. And the thing is, I used to play the games, I used to record it, and then I would edit them and put it on, you know, different forums and different gaming channels where I had my own fan base because people love the way I play so much and they were learning from me. And so I had to edit my own videos. So it started with that, and then student government, it grew, and then I got that big contract and it just kept coming back. So that's how the whole film thing happened. As far as the manufacturing companies, honestly, when I left NASA, and that contract was over, I needed money. Even though I had an entrepreneurial spirit and I was going after a bunch of different things, you know, I had NASA on my resume. There was no reason for me to be broke. So I had a friend that was a VP level, and she said, you're one of the most brilliant people I've met. I'm going to create a position for you. And she did. And that's how I was able to like feed myself, my family, and keep on going. And so that's how I ended up working for those two startups.
You're such a grafter, aren't you? Like you're not afraid of hard work. You're not afraid of getting stuck in and rolling up your sleeves. And somebody said to me before, they said that don't be afraid to do. Don't ask somebody to do a job you're not willing to do. You know,
absolutely.
And I think that's that sounds like it's coming through massively for you. And it's getting those learnings along the way, being that person who's watching the bosses, kind of taking notes on what you like about them and equally what you don't like
about them,
which is probably really even more important. And then forming your own way of leading a team. That's obviously coming through massively with the Transformation Factory. How many people do you employ?
105 today.
Jesus, that's unbelievable. So and you're 125, is that what you said?
105.
Okay.
Yes. And so, we're hitting our 2-year anniversary in a few months. So it's all happened overnight.
It's happened so quickly, isn't it? Like one of the pieces that I remember you talking about was after 7 months, I think you turned over $1 million.
Yes.
Of opening a business, and you reinvested it back into the business.
Yes.
Which is like it's the only way to help a business succeed.
Absolutely.
Is by giving it a chance to spread its wings.
Yes.
Let's talk about Shark Tank.
Okay.
So what was that whole experience like? And if anybody wants to see it, they can go onto YouTube and watch it. But what was it like before those doors opened and you walked out?
Just thinking about it brings the anxiety back.
We want an honesty call now, true story.
yes. I mean, the entire process was absolutely amazing. How it even came about, I had a casting director who reached out to me. She was a friend of mine following me on Instagram, and she was seeing the success in my business and how fast it was growing. And she said, "Have you ever thought about being on Shark Tank?" I'm like, absolutely. I'm like, that's my favorite show. But I'm like, there's no way we're good enough for a show like that. You know? So she was like, "I really think you should apply." And she gave me an email to a casting director that she knew that was working on casting. And she said, "Send an email around this time of the year, and we'll see if we can at least get you to an interview, you know, at least get you in the door." I emailed that person. They never responded. And so what I did was I just went on the website and applied like a regular person. Someone called me. It's kind of like somebody that I guess weed out the good and the bad before you talk to the real people. So I had an assistant call me, ask me a bunch of questions. They loved my story. And then they asked what our numbers were. At the time, we were probably about 8 or 9 months in business. And at that point, we were doing $400,000 a month in sales.
Wow.
And they just couldn't believe it. Yeah. They couldn't believe that those were our numbers. And they moved me from a pre-phase all the way to the front and skipped two other rounds of cuts immediately over the phone. So that was fun.
You started getting the VIP treatment straight away, basically.
Straight away. Our numbers and the story, I think the combination of both. The weight loss story, how fast the business grew, and what we were making already. And it was created during the pandemic. It was like a slam dunk for them.
Yeah.
And, so about 2 months later, we get a call saying that we made the show. And I just remember being with my staff, putting the phone on speaker, asking them to repeat that so everybody could hear it. And the entire staff lost their minds. They could not believe it. They got so excited. And I flew to California and we filmed. And it was an amazing experience. When those double doors, there's two sets of double doors. First one opens up and then you go down the infamous shark hallway. And, I had amazing producers that said I was going to do well. I practiced my pitch a million times. And when those double doors finally opened and I saw Mark Cuban and Kevin Hart and Lori and Barbara and Mr. Wonderful, you know, all these familiar faces, all these powerful people, I literally just went into fight or flight mode. I said, You don't have the opportunity to get nervous, you know, like, you know, having a business the size of mine this fast and in a niche where I was the industry leader like CMOS, you know, I put so much pressure on myself to make sure that I did an amazing job, for the CMOS community, because I knew that if this went well for me, everyone that's in the CMOS business would benefit because it's a growing market. Also, I come from a minority community, the Black community, where we don't get that many opportunities. So here I am on a world stage, being able to represent my community as well. And that was very important. And then I have my staff and my customers and my brand that you can go on that show and get destroyed. And then what happens with your brand afterwards? You know, so I was also a level of protecting my brand too. And all of that happening at the same time as those doors opening, it was like showtime, you know? And I just put all that energy into my pitch. And I just remembered, hey, this is a conversation. Don't think too much about it. And you know, a lot of people ask me, like, and when they see my episode, they're like, wow, you were in so much control. You were so calm. You were so confident. Like, how weren't you like shaking in your boots? And it was like, man, it was just adrenaline rush, you know, adrenaline rush. And the thing is, I was overprepared. I knew my numbers like the back of my hand. So there was no question they can ask me about my business that I did not know. I created the formulas for the recipes, the logo, did the product photography, the labels. I knew every single stitch of my business and still do. And then we also tested our CMOS in science labs. I went back to my college and worked with the biology department, so I knew the minerals, I knew the breakdown, I knew everything. So if they asked, how do you know it has these minerals? Or how do you know it does this? You know, here are the lab reports. That's how. So I was really confident in that aspect where you couldn't ask me a question that I couldn't answer. Our numbers were beautiful. Our story was beautiful. And at that moment, I just had to understand who I was and what we have done. And it was amazing. And that this is a gift for them too, to have you know, a story like this in the front of them. And I focused on that instead of focusing on being nervous or focusing on the fact that that man's worth $5 billion in the corner. This is the most famous comedian alive right now, you know? And here's Mr. Wonderful, that's, you know, usually a troll, usually gonna mess with you a bit and throw you off your rocker, you know? I had to focus on what really mattered in that moment.
I'll stick the link in the show, but like, so where do I what I just the story blows me away, but to hear that insight that before you went in, like you're number one prepared, over prepared. I believe when you prepare so well, it's like it's impossible to over prepare in a way, because you have so much information oozing out of you, right? Because you don't know what direction they're going to take the conversation, I'm sure. But doubled by your passion for the product, you're representing a community of people that don't necessarily get the opportunities to do what you're doing. Like that for me is the win. And even to be thinking about what your brand is going to be like after this, like what are your staff going to think after this, you know? I just find it remarkable that you were so cool, you were so calm, or came across so calm, because as they started asking more and more questions, you were just so naturally able to just bat them off. Boom, boom. What's in it? Oh, you've got this product, this vitamin, this. I remember watching it, and you listed off about four or five different
Minerals.
minerals, right? And I'm
Yes.
there going, Jesus, yeah, I've heard of them, but I didn't know what they did.
Yes.
Did you walk in there going, you were looking for 500 grand for 5% of the business?
Yes.
So did you go in lowballing on purpose?
Well,
Or
it
what way did
wasn't,
you look at it? Yeah.
I didn't want a lot of my company to be sold because I knew that it was growing really, really fast and that what 5% is worth today is not going to be the same number even 3 months later. So I was being protective of that. The thing I needed the most, because it wasn't the money. You know, our business was profitable right out of the gate, and we have a very healthy cash flow. So the money wasn't the enticing part. It was the relationship capital and the opportunity to work with one of the sharks. Is that they can connect us to Target and Walmart and QVC and all these big opportunities. That, but also the biggest part for me as a first generation CEO and as a young CEO was being able to work alongside someone like Mark Cuban, who's a billionaire, who's super smart and intelligent, and being able to learn from him as a young CEO. Imagine 20 years from now, how proficient I would be with that kind of training.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
those are things that you just can't pay for.
Yeah.
And so for me,
yeah.
it wasn't about the money. I wanted to protect my equity, but I also wanted an opportunity to work with these gentlemen.
And tell me, how much do you work with Mark? So that for people to know that Mark Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks basketball team, and he's a super, super, super successful businessman. And then Kevin Hart, who is, as you said, the number one comedian and potentially actor in the world at the moment, right?
Yes,
Across
yes.
the board, one of the funniest human beings I've ever seen
yes.
on TV.
Yes.
So how much access do you get to those two people?
Well, what I would say is with Mark Cuban and his team, they're absolutely, Mark is so wonderful. I mean, I can send him an email at 2 in the morning and he'll respond at 2:15. or 2:05 sometimes,
unreal,
you know, and he's just so connected. He's so hands-on and he answers personally. You would think, man, this guy is way too busy to get to these emails, but he's there. He's there. He's there. Kevin and his team are also wonderful, but Kevin's a global superstar and he's always filming about 4 or 5 movies at the same time.
Yeah.
And in fact, when he came to my episode, he had just got off a plane from filming a movie a few hours before, you know, and, you know, just incredible work ethic, incredible work ethic. He really helped so much on the show. He helped the other sharks to really understand why this product had taken off and why it was doing so well, even though they had never heard of it before. He was able to double down on the fact that it was a cultural product and really opened up the floor and gave me the very first offer that opened up the table. I mean, Kevin Hart is catalyst. And to be honest with you, our business is growing so fast that we have a delay in our orders now. We have a longer lead time because we sold Black Friday. We made $1 million in 24 hours. We were not expecting that. We sold 100,000 jars in a weekend. And, you know, my team is making everything by hand. This isn't like a big production machine, mass scaled yet. So now we have these orders that we have to fulfill. And it's like, man, if Kevin Hart made a commercial with our product right now, we would be in trouble.
Yeah.
Because we would have so many sales that we would probably have a 6-month lead time.
Yeah.
So his involvement isn't really needed right now. We just came back from Germany where they're going to be building us custom machines that can mass produce our product now. So now instead of making about 2,000 jars a day, we'll be able to make about 15,000 jars a day. So with that scalability, we can now get into stores and you know, decrease our backlog, get it to the customer faster, and then take advantage of an opportunity like Kevin Hart talking about our product to his 200 million fans.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We have to prepare for that first. And Kevin Hart and Mark, they're such smart business guys that they know that there's a such thing as too much success. It could literally put me out of business if we get too much, you know, too quickly. So it's kind of like a seesaw, you know. We scale to the new numbers and then we keep going from there. Right now, we have to increase our production to match our demand. Once that has happened, then we can now start doing more advertisements, more affiliates, more influencer drops, you know, cool things like that. So
it's back and forth.
Do
you know what? It's really brilliant to hear you tell that kind of version of the story as well, because a lot of people think that, oh, just go big, go big, go big. But you have to balance it, right? You have to balance it out. And I love that you document all this on your social platforms.
Yes.
Like I remember you arriving at Germany, and there's a video of you arriving at Germany and the excitement that's coming through, right?
Yes.
So it is great because people are getting to see you behind the scenes, and equally so your staff as well. Like walking yes. through the process of batch testing and walking through the process of packaging and everything. Like, I remember you walked into your warehouse, your first major warehouse, and the excitement that you had, like, you can really feel that coming through. And yeah. I think it's a credit to you, Alexio, in that you're still as passionate as you are when you first started creating the product for your grandmother.
Yes, you know, no, absolutely. It's just, you know, I wake up every day and I'm still in awe that this is my life now. These are my challenges. These are the things I have to deal with on a daily. It's such an honor, you know, even when it gets tough, I just try to remember that. Yeah. That what's the alternative? If I wasn't stressed out about this, I'd be stressed out at a 9 to 5. And it's like, choose your stress.
Yeah. There's a great book called The Art of Not Giving a Fuck. There's only so many of them you can give a day. So make sure you choose them wisely.
Absolutely. I have that book, but I should actually read it.
Yeah, it's great. Let me ask you this. So if you could imagine Alexio Gibson at 12 years old, right?
Yes.
What message would you leave to him today?
That's a great question. I think if I could talk to 12-year-old Alexio, it's just like, man, your whole life is going to be different. Keep working hard. Keep working smart. And I think 12-year-old Alexio didn't see a future. You know, so the conversation I would have with 12-year-old Alexio is, you couldn't be further wrong that something massive is coming, but keep working hard. And that would be my message.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? He couldn't see a future.
Really.
Was it tough?
Yeah, absolutely. Growing up was tough. So, you know, again, not a lot of opportunities for people like myself. And, you know, sometimes you just don't feel that hopeful that it's going to happen for you. So I think I would alleviate that worry with 12-year-old Alexio.
Yeah. And, you know, you're it's funny, isn't it, that at 12 years old or that young age, it's such a crucial age for you to look for hope. And when you can't find hope in certain things, it's super challenging and you can go down a certain path, right? But I think as long as people have hope, and how they get hope, whether it's through religion or through people or through the friendship network that they have, like, it's never give up on hope, right? It's always important to have it, because you never know, the next day could be the exact day that you need things to just go your way.
Absolutely.
Tell me this, if when it comes to values, and say we all have like this personal kind of social contract with ourselves, right? We all kind of have these things that are ingrained, like certain people won't treat people a certain way, you know, always be kind and whatnot. How do you think someone you trust, somebody that knows you innately, would describe you?
The question you're asking is, how would somebody that knows me would describe me?
Yeah. That's somebody that you know, somebody that you trust. Like somebody that knows you, yeah.
Yeah, I think somebody that truly knows me would say that I'm a hard worker, I'm humble, I'm very loyal, and that I'm very creative, you know. But mostly they would speak on my character, because I think that's the thing that people love about me the most, and that draws people to me so quickly, is that, you know, there are a lot of bad people out there, or a lot of people that are fake nice and, you know, fake loyalty, or, you know, they're opportunists, you know. And to meet someone that's truly, truly genuine and works hard, attached to very positive things always. And I think those are the qualities that people enjoy about me the most. And someone closest to me would definitely speak on those things.
Yeah. How would somebody, can you remember a time when you faced somebody or somebody who's super negative or super just challenging for whatever reason? Like, how do you deal with those people? Because you have them on a regular basis, right?
Oh yeah, I do. I have gatekeepers, but, you know, you have people from your past too that are negative, or people in your family that's negative. And, you know, but to answer your question, my defense mechanism for that is shutting them out. You know, I'm very big on mental health and being in a positive environment. And to me, a positive environment isn't just like your physical location. It's who you have around you, what you're listening to, what you're watching every day. You know, what are you really feeding yourself? So I find people that bring a very dark energy to be, you know, it pulls a lot of my energy. I'm an empath. I feel that energy. You know, it distracts me. It robs me of my creativity. It stresses me out. It puts me in a sad mood, you know, and you can't really be productive when you feel that way. And so I gave myself the permission to just cut those people off completely so that I can be who I need to be to do what I'm doing right now. And so, you know, that's it. I keep positive people around me or I stay alone. Again, I'm all or nothing. I'm either going to be the only positive person in the room or the only people around me are going to be also on the same energy
And
because
I think it's
that
important
drives me.
for people that, like, I think it's important for people to realize that being positive isn't the yes person, right? That's not
No.
that. Like, being positive
Oh.
is there's two things for me. I think one thing is there's positivity, which is always looking for the positive or the good thing, the good in something, right?
Yes.
And I believe giving people the benefit of the doubt as well, because everyone has bad days, right? Or tricky days. But then
Yes.
being an optimist is knowing that you can have a tricky day, but then tomorrow is going to be way better, or that it's going to be brighter the next day. Do you know? Like, there's a subtle difference in being super positive all the time, but knowing that being an optimist allows you to feel, if you feel certain emotions, allow you to feel that and go, right, I'll feel it now, tomorrow or the next time will be better.
Yes, absolutely.
So okay, listen, I've taken up plenty of your time, and I must say, Alexio, like, first of all, I'm so privileged to speak to you, and I loved your story. I think you're a super duper human. I think you're an absolute gentleman of a person. I think your kindness comes through without a doubt. I think your honesty is brilliant, and your bravery is inspiring. And I think those who are listening, I'm sure are feeling the same way. But the platform is yours, right? So tell people what's going on in your world. Tell people how they can find you. Let them know what they need to do, especially us Irish people. We need to start ordering the CMOS and becoming the gods of Europe, you know?
Well, the best way to reach me, I'm on Instagram, Alexio 2.0. Our business page is CMOS Transformation, and our website is thetransformationfactory.com. You guys can follow me. I post on my stories all the time, things that we're doing, and you know, it's the best way to stay connected. And as far as getting our product to Ireland, that is definitely in the works. We have to solve our production issues first, you know, before we open up to another country. But it will definitely get there.
Brilliant. Well, once we get that sorted, I'll be first on the list
Yes.
to put the order in, you know.
Yes.
But come here, listen, thanks so much for your time, Alexio, and I wish you, your family, and your whole team the ultimate success, because I'm so proud and lucky to be part of this journey, even through conversation, when I can't wait to see what happens next.
All right. Thank you for having me. This was a great interview. I appreciate it.
Once again, thank you for joining me on season four and taking part in this journey where we talk to people like you and me about what motivates them, what inspires them, and ultimately what makes them tick. I've learned so much from the various conversations I've had, and I hope you can take something from this that you can apply to your life. That's why this podcast has been created. I'm very proud of it, and I'm very thankful for everybody who's joined me so far. Thank you all for listening.